I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's a brand new month. Welcome to November as we welcome back the man who's looking refreshed, even more handsome than he was when he left this damn country. Donovan Bailey running things, Jason Portwando alongside Mr. Bailey. And I know that you suffered a bit of an injury playing ball last night.
Yeah.
But overall, you're looking pretty healthy. You're looking really good.
Thank you, boss. I mean, this is, the last two episodes, we tried to do it whilst I was in Jamaica.
Yep.
The Kingston one worked out fine. The Montego Bay one up in the hills didn't work out so well. But the technology there, I mean, there's certainly some suffering for that incredible view, or suffering for paradise. So I guess we have to deal with that. But yes, I'm feeling very recharged. I feel I got a little bit of color, you know, I got a little bit more chocolate.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of people think black people don't tan.
Oh my God, I burn all the time.
Exactly.
I burn all the time. I mean, and I've actually had some skin damage to my face. I mean, when I was training, for instance, Jason, I mean, you know, first of all, it's very necessary for everybody to put...
I'm glad you said that, because black people are under this misnomer that they don't have to wear sunscreen.
It's very necessary for everyone to wear sunscreen.
Exactly. Because skin, even more so for black people.
Yeah, because skin, the sun obviously has less adverse effect on a black person than it does on anybody else. But yeah, it is very necessary. But I'm not, this is one of those situations where I'm not gonna preach because I am definitely guilty most days of not leaving the house and putting some sunscreen on. But yeah, you know what? Jamaica was great. Got some amazing food. Got to see some family. Got some business done. And now I'm back, so I'm glad to be back.
I'm glad you're back as well. That first segment brought to you by Coppertone. So if anybody out there wants to, you know, be a part of this program, you can be a part of it in so many different ways. Like, share, follow, subscribe, download, check out your podcast provider. Whoever it may be, you will find Donovan Bailey running things. Last week, you and I touched on the World Series. Differing opinions. I said Philadelphia. You say Houston right now.
Right.
We're still at a deadlock. It's now down to a best of five going into game three recently, washed out in Philly. But here's a stat that I heard, and I was just blown away when I heard it. For the first time since 1950, not one U.S.-born black player on either team. Big deal? No deal. What's your take?
You know what? I actually don't think it's a deal. You know what? Here's what happens. Baseball... As we know, it's widespread. It's throughout the Caribbean. It's in Asia. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yep.
I mean,
it's global, for sure.
Yeah, and it's also a sport that you can play, as long as you have your equipment, you can play that anywhere. I mean, you hand-eye coordination, running the bases. So no, it doesn't surprise me, Jason, that there are athletes around the world. I mean, obviously in America, maybe in North America or America and Canada, some of the players are just kind of take things for granted, if you're in the Dominican Republic or anywhere else in the Caribbean, and this is a way out, this is a way out of poverty, this is a way out of creating generational wealth, then maybe your intensity and your training and the hours that you spend trying to get to that next level is taken a lot more seriously than those Americans. So it doesn't surprise me. I mean, and you know, I see this as, you know, any dominance in any sport. I mean, you know, you there's a ton of incredible basketball players coming out of Canada now, and they're making it to the NBA. There's what, 80 to 100 of them playing the NCAA at the NCAA Division I level. You know, so I mean, there's a lot of work being put in. There's a lot of grassroots program that are here that are happening. So I see the same thing in baseball. I see the same thing in track and field. I mean, you know, the same thing in golf, for instance. I mean, you know, so it doesn't surprise me that there are that you know the dominance of non-American players in any sport is happening. It is a way out for everybody. You and I have talked about this many times. There's marathon runners from Finland and there's marathon runners from Africa.
Right.
You know, I mean, in most cases, you know, to kind of get out of a terrible socioeconomic place, that's for some athletes. And there's others that kind of take this for granted.
Dusty Baker is 73. He's done basically everything in baseball. If he doesn't get into Cooperstown, something's wrong. To me, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He'll get in.
So he's the one that kind of brought this story to light,
right?
You know, being obviously a black manager himself, and right. If he does win the World Series, by the way, I think he'll become just the third black manager to do so, if I'm not mistaken. Don't ask me who the other two are. I'm not sure.
All right.
But I do hate bringing up stats like that and not telling you who the other two are. But anyways, I kind of feel your vision on this. Usually I like to argue your point.
Right.
Argumentative right. is better podcasting.
Maybe.
But...
challenging, not
yeah,
arguing.
You know, but I mean, I kind of agree with you. I mean, this just means that athletes are challenging their energies in other directions. So, I mean, there are so many sports out there. I mean, to me, it's kind of a quirky thing. I don't know if it's troublesome because it's not like there's no black players in baseball. They just didn't happen to be on either one of these teams.
True. You know? And again, here's the thing that we have to look at. When you look, like, for instance, if you're looking at Bronny James, LeBron's son, right? He's playing, at an extremely high level. But his competitor is not necessarily the team that he's playing against in L.A. or wherever he's playing, or in Arizona. I mean, the best players are measured across the world. So you can have someone in Senegal or in Cameroon or in the Caribbean or in Russia or in Brazil. I mean, you can have a basketball player his age that is competing against him, right? And so with sports, a lot of this is widespread, and that's really what it that's what it is that we must address. So I'm never really concerned when any one country really is dominant in anything, because the hard work and the heavy lifting is being done around the globe, and that's why you have to appreciate the people that are coming. I mean, that are coming out. The newest, biggest, best basketball player is coming out of France. You know right. what I mean? You know, so I mean, you know, there might be a day that we see NBA finals, and there might not be one American-born player in the final. So yeah, the baseball thing doesn't really bother me, and I actually think it's quite good, just because, you know, these kids now understand that you've got to put in your 10,000 hours because someone else is putting in 20,000 hours with less equipment, less facility, and they're coming at you, you know. So I love it.
Yeah, and by the way, Cito Gaston, geez, I mean, being a Toronto guy, I mean, come on, there's a brother who won the World Series. I want to see maybe Dave Roberts.
How can you forget?
Yeah, exactly. Something's right under your nose sometimes.
That's right, man. It's all right.
Sometimes you just, you let it slip. But, yeah, but you know what? I mean, you look at baseball for years. We can move on in a bit here. But for years, you look at baseball, and it's not a sport you need a lot of equipment for, right? And right. You brought that up. You just get a glove. You get a ball. You're good to go. Right. Track and field, get some spikes.
Right.
You know, you don't need any particular type of uniform. Like, I understand now with analytics technology, people are wearing certain suits, you know, more aerodynamic, whether you're running or swimming, whatever.
Right.
But baseball is a sport. You don't need a lot of money to get involved. Not like hockey where the equipment itself costs, you know, a ton of money, and there's a ton of it, right?
Well, you can't in baseball, it's hand-eye coordination, and certainly you can always find a stick anywhere in the world, and you always can find something that there's a kid that is trying to hit that object coming towards them with that stick. So hand-eye coordination. Track and field, I mean, hey, there are places and pockets around the world that these kids don't even have shoes. So it doesn't even matter. You know, at the end of the day, can you put one foot in front of the other and you kind of get in there. I mean, when you learn at the highest level in any one of these sports, which obviously a lot of, you know, these major leagues, major organizations are investing in kids across the world. When you get kids from the highest level, when they get support from the highest level and they are focused and they're putting in the work, usually the result is that they end up in the World Series or the Olympic Finals or the NBA Finals, you know, or wherever.
Our bet, by the way, you were pretty firm last week, making me sound like I'm crazy.
Right.
And I know you still feel that way. Crazy to pick in Philadelphia. We got kind of lucky in the opener. Houston should have won that game.
Really?
They're up 5-0.
Right.
Phillies came back to win in extras. Great ball game.
So by the way, my bets, I said they're going to win one. And that's what I said to you. All right.
Okay. It's done now, basically.
Well, of course the series is done. I mean, you were lucky to have it actually should be 3-0 now. You know, except the weather yesterday. It should be 3-0.
You're going to beat them down in the rain, were you? All right.
The first game was 5-0. Come on. I don't know what those guys were thinking, but my God, they let him come back. But it's not going to happen again.
All right. Fair enough. Let's move on. Let's talk a little basketball. The season nicely underway. It seems like more off-court news is taking, more relevance than the actual season itself. But we'll talk about, obviously, on-court throughout, you know, the remainder of the year and into 2023 as well. But
right. As
we all know, Phoenix in a situation to sell the Suns. Various people are, you know, stepping forward, saying they're at least interested.
Right.
One of the more, you know, popular names, interesting names to surface as part of a potential purchasing group, Barack Obama.
I think that's amazing.
Could you imagine?
Oh, I can. I actually can because everyone knows that the former president is a huge basketball fan, basketball player. Loves the sport, very passionate about it. So the fact that his name popped up as being part of an ownership consortium that's going to put together a deal to buy this would be fantastic. I think that LeBron putting something together would be great also. If they got together, it would be good. If Oprah got in there and Tyler Perry and all of that. But I think that Barack Obama owning a basketball team would be great. This is an incredible trailblazer. The first president, one of the best presidents in the history of the United States. Obviously we're not going to get into a political discussion because, you know, our political points might vary. But I think that him owning a basketball team would probably remind me a little bit of Mark Cuban. I love Mark Cuban as an owner. I love him as an entrepreneur.
Right.
And I think that Barack Obama has done an incredible job with his branding. You know he's a good guy. You know he's in it and passionately to win. You can literally see him at every game. I can envision him at every game, you know, meeting fans or doing whatever he's doing. So I love that idea, dude. I think it would be amazing that he's part of something. And also, it'd add a little color to the ownership group.
Yeah, can this actually happen, or is this just kind of a... You know, I don't want to say posturing. I don't want to say it's just kind of teasing people. But is this legit, you think, or is this just?
I don't think it matters, dude. Seriously, okay. I don't think it matters. What's good about all this stuff is that we're having a conversation about it, and to me, that's as important as owning. And first of all, I want him to do it. Let me get that straight. I want him I want the consortium to get together and put an incredible bid and get the team. But I think, Jason, the fact that we're talking about it is great. The fact that there are kids today that are looking at aspiring to be incredible entrepreneurs and taking companies public or becoming presidents of the United States or presidents of countries, making a ton of dough, and then go and be a big kid, because that's what you eventually be. You come in, you own the thing, so you're now the big kid that owns the sandbox. And so the fact that we're talking about it is as important as him doing it, and I want to see him do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty cool that Charles Barkley is also apparently part of that ownership.
Of course.
We know all the problems going on with Robert Sarver, and he's got to get rid of the Phoenix teams, the Suns, and the Mercury of the WNBA. But if this could somehow come to fruition, I mean, great all around, like you said. Great all around. I mean, to me, it's a distinct possibility. Obviously, we're going to get more on this as time continues to move forward. But, man, oh, man, this is something that I wouldn't have expected. I mean, to get black ownership, yeah, okay, but I didn't think Barack would be interested. But, yeah, this is good.
But, again, I can see it. I mean, this is the guy that refurbished. He got to the White House, and the first rule of thumb was to refurbish the basketball court. Come on, man. Come on, man. That's something I would do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, so the fact is that he's in it. And he's got a group of boys that he balls with still that are all, you know, high net worth people, and they certainly can put together an incredible group, and hope he can do it and get it done. And I see him on the sidelines or in the owner's box. Like I said, he reminds me a little bit of someone like Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban.
Who would be, like, I just love Mark Cuban as the owner of a basketball team. You know that he's in it. You know that he is, like, he's all about it. A lot of these owners, you never hear of them. You never see them, and it doesn't even matter.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm saying to you there. The energy that someone like Barack, that Obama would bring is different. And the energy would be similar to me, would be somewhat similar to something like Mark Cuban.
All right. Fair enough. Charles Barkley, by the way, said if Obama calls, hell yeah, I'm there. I'm part of it. So, and Monty Williams, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, also very excited about the proposition to be continued. And by the way, Dave Roberts is the other black manager. More recently, a couple of years ago, with the LA Dodgers winning, right? So Dave Roberts, Cito Gaston are the two black managers.
Attaboy, stats man.
Dusty. It's bugging me. I just hate when you're watching something on TV and they're like, that's the fourth person to do it. And okay, well, who were the other three? Right. And they don't tell you, right? It's one thing if they said that was the 18th guy. Well, then hell, I don't care about the other 17.
Right.
But when you give that's me a smaller number, give me the people. So there you go. Dave Roberts.
Good man.
Cito Gaston. Now we can move on. On the court quickly. I mean, it's been ugly for the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, a storied franchise, their ownership group, we know that, you know, that's not changing. The buses have got control. We know that. Magic's got it locked down with the whole group. We get that.
Right.
But my goodness, the last team in the NBA to win a regular season game. Who could have expected that?
It's early, man.
It's early.
I mean,
I know. You're right.
This madness that this is news about what, but listen, okay. 30 games in, let's have a discussion. You know what I mean?
Like, people are saying already they should be making trades, giving up those draft picks they got.
Well, that's what's awesome about passionate fans and passionate loyal fans. I mean, at the end of the day, it's too early. It's too early. You can't throw in the towel after what, 6 games, 7 games? You can't.
It's early.
You can't throw in the
towel.
But
it's fun to talk about them doing that badly.
Well, I mean, the expectations.
Being a Jazz fan, so right, yeah.
Well, hang on, because of the team that's on the court, I guess the amount of money they've spent, LeBron's leadership, that's why it's news. But I mean, it's not real news, is it? I mean, it's this could actually change in a month. Like next month, we're sitting here going, man, you see the Lakers? They're 500 now. They've won every game, you know. So and then the narrative changes again. So it doesn't really matter. I don't think the Lakers is news right now. I mean, I think.
Well, you're right about that. They're not news right now.
Okay, they're not news. I mean, you know, if we're going to talk about anyone be news, I mean, I love what Cleveland's doing. I love the fact that Donovan Mitchell's gone to.
What about his ex team, the Jazz?
Well, the Jazz is doing okay.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell's gone. Rudy Gobert's gone.
Right.
Bogdanovich is gone. Joe Ingles is gone. Everybody's gone.
Like apparently they needed to get rid of all those guys to become a better team.
Well, let's just take a look at the standings, and I can tell you Milwaukee's the best team in basketball.
Oh,
6-0.
Yeah.
The Utah Jazz are 6-2.
That's okay.
That's a hell of a start.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Considering they don't have anybody. They sold the whole damn team. So quickly, is this proving kind of like the Raptors where you're kind of better off sometimes without that superstar? That way you play as a team, as a unit, and don't have to worry about giving that ball to that one superstar?
Team cohesiveness is the number one thing.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's nice
to have those stars, though. But you're right.
Well, listen, you're going to always need someone to knock it down. You're going to need someone that can penetrate.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's team cohesiveness. So if you can't move the ball around and put it in the hoop, then it's done.
Damn, I hate this. I don't like November so far because I'm agreeing with you too much.
Ah, that's okay, man.
My gosh.
You missed me. It's all right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I did. It is nice having you back to my right. I do appreciate that. But you're right. I mean, hey, Raptors were not going to win without Kawhi.
Right.
But Kawhi was not going to win without Freddie.
That's
without
right.
Pascal.
100%.
And the other guys, right? Right. Serge, I mean, whatever else.
But I'm saying, but here's the thing. It's not even just, like, when you think of the Raptors winning the NBA championships, it wasn't, and I mean, I speak about this quite often. It wasn't just the people on the court. I mean, they had such incredible support from top to bottom, right to left, right?
Right.
You know, so the team that was on the court could go there and play comfortably knowing that they could, that they would win and they could take all the chance in the world and still get the support.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you're right. Because, I mean, you have to have everybody playing that certain role. I spoke of Serge, Mark. You know, Danny Green, I know for a while there was a bit of a slump. He started dropping three. The list goes on and on and on. But, okay, well, I'm going to mark this show down, and you telling me the Lakers are not in trouble because I vehemently
I didn't say they're not in trouble. I just said it's not
too
a story
early.
Today.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. What is a story today and was a story last time we talked? And I know that technology wasn't the greatest, but Yeezy, Ye, Mr. West, whatever you want to call Kanye – man, oh, man. He just seems to, I don't want to say find trouble, but he finds trouble. I mean.
Find trouble?
or does trouble find him? I don't know, because we kind of address the anti-Semitic comments that he's made, and all of a sudden, you know, he's just losing everything. People around him, his camp, his sponsorship. It's just not good. So I didn't, you know, purposely, you know, bring this up again, but. In a way, I did because I didn't get your take on it. I know we kind of had you in and out, but
right.
What's your take on this whole situation?
Well, I mean, we were having a conversation last week, and then today's taping, Jason, he's $2 billion poorer, you know?
I wish I could be $2 billion poorer because that means at one point in time I had two damn billion dollars.
You know what?
Wow.
I don't know. Clearly, I'm not going to. Okay, well, so here's my take. The first thing, I mean, I know he said a bunch of stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing I do agree with him on. He said
okay.
he was talking about not to believe all media. I think it's very important to probably address that. And that alone, right? I mean, I think it's very important for all of us to read and to listen to and then form our own opinion in whatever it is that you want to do. That's just my personal take on
okay.
it.
Okay.
But he's saying some stupid things and he's doing some stupid things. I mean, I don't know why he feels that he needs to... Well, I don't know why he would shoot himself in the foot with a relationship with a, you know, global sports brand and also six or seven or eight other brands. I don't understand where he's generating income from. I don't understand what his take is on it. I don't understand if it's a mental issue or he knows something that and he's going to be a genius. You know what I mean? Like some of this, like him saying anything anti-Semitic is crazy. You just can't call someone the N-word and you just can't be a racist, bro. You just can't. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Right? And so I don't understand where he's coming from. And I was watching a clip of Pete Davidson roasting him. And I think Pete Davidson said, just take your meds, bro. Right? And you know, maybe that's just it. Maybe he needs someone is in a circle to who's honest. I think that as someone who's been in the public eye for a very long time.
Yeah.
One of the things that I cherish and I value are really, really close friends of mine who can always have an honest conversation. And I'm hoping that he has at least one or two or three people in his circle that he can have a real honest conversation about life, about facts, about reality. You know, I mean, he's a dad, man. Like more, you know what I mean? He's like, he's a, you and I are both fathers. You know what I mean? So there's got to be some, there's got to be someone that can have that conversation. I mean, and I mean, you've seen this with many superstars, whether it's athletes or musicians or actors or whatever around the world, where, you know, you start believing your own craziness, right? But I again, it's always important to have that tiny circle where your boys or your brethren or whoever it is can be completely and totally honest with you about what it is that you're doing and what it is that you're saying. And again, if you have a point and it makes sense, respect, no problem. But if you're just going around doing crazy stuff, man, that's not good.
No. And you know what? Everybody is entitled to their own opinion.
100.
Right or wrong, it's your opinion. You're entitled to it, but you just can't always express it. Sometimes it's just better to say nothing. And the amount of money he's losing, the popularity, the talent agency, the sponsorship, this and that. And he's not the only one. I mean, you know, a little bit more recently, Kyrie Irving has come out, and there's some anti-Semitic messages there from him as well. And he's in trouble now with, you know, the Brooklyn Nets. And many are saying you got to deal him now because he's another guy that always seems to be in the headlines for the wrong reasons. And he's a hell of a baller.
Kyrie's an incredible basketball player.
Last year it was the vaccination stuff, right?
Yeah, and the
no, but his opinion.
Hang on 1 second. The vaccine thing. I mean, if you had a point, if he's saying, hey, I don't want to do it because, you know, civil rights or my own body or whatever, yeah, no problem. And I mean, but when you kind of cross the street and you're getting into this different kind of thing, you know, you are going to be subjected to criticism because the people with the pen and the paper or the computer screens in front of them that are writing articles and reporting on you. You know why they're reporting on you, man? Because you play basketball and you haven't brought a championship back. And you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. So, you know, for me in sport, I've always said that when I was competing in sport, you can criticize me about anything.
Right.
In my sport, because I'm not
constructive.
I'm not going to allow you, but I'm not going to allow you anywhere else.
Right.
You don't necessarily need to know my political opinion. You don't necessarily need to know anything, you know, about my family. You know, what you can do is tell me all the good things or the bad things that I'm doing on my field of play. And maybe that's what Kyrie should do.
Well, Kyrie is quoted as saying he is not going to stand down on anything he believes in.
Cool.
And this is after he was condemned by the owner of his NBA team for tweeting a link to that documentary deemed to be anti-Semitic. So we all have our own beliefs. We all have our own thoughts. But sometimes when the person who's putting that pen to paper with your checks, when they speak, sometimes, hey, you got to listen.
Well, you know
what I mean?
Well, Jason, again, you and I talk about this all the time. I only learn by listening. I read.
Never hurts to listen. Right?
I'm a constant student. So at the end of the day, that's how I do it. Might not be him. That might not work for him or anybody else for that, or whomever else it doesn't work for. But I learn by listening. I can learn about someone, who they are, their characteristics, their culture by actually listening. And anytime I speak, I hope that whomever it is that lends me an ear, they can learn something about me. That's kind of how the world, I would want the world to be.
All right. And I already know this, but for those of you out there who don't, this man is something else. Because the last thing he wanted to do was talk about anything. I mean, anything basketball related. After him broke up his knee, after he hurt himself last night.
Oh,
so, yeah, good on you. Let's run that anchor leg. And right now, his knee is burning, but he's all good. He's all good. So you are a good man. I appreciate you doing that. Let's begin the anchor leg with some basketball. Yes, we're talking more basketball.
Oh,
I got to get your quick take. I mean, scoring is up huge in the league. Teams averaging 115 points a damn game. Recently, last night, we saw Scottie Barnes with a career high 5 threes. He's a big man. Do you like this new style of basketball where big men do not play with their back to the basket like they should be?
Well, big men are not playing with their back to the basketball now. Every single person, whether you're, you know, I was going to say 5'2".
Easy.
But, yeah.
Easy.
But listen, whether you're 6'5 or 7-5. Okay. It seemed that the game is faster.
Or
5-5.
Yeah. Okay.
It seemed, I don't know, Muggsy's not in the league anymore.
All right.
You know what? It seems that the game is faster. And of course, these kids are bigger, stronger, and faster. So the expectations are that there's if you're lighting it up from the 3-point line, then the scores are going
to
get higher.
Do you like this brand of basketball? Do you miss the guys with their back to the basket, the Patrick Ewings, Akeem Olajuwon, Tim Duncan, like those guys, Robert Parrish?
I loved that basketball because that's the basketball I play.
Right.
However, I like the John Morants who are an athlete in the NBA because that's actually my personal style of basketball. But I do. I'm still a basketball fan. You know, some of the touch fouls are a little soft. But other than that, I mean, you know what? Listen, I'm a basketball fan. And ultimately, if the game is evolving, then I will evolve as a fan.
All right, fair enough. By the way, the Raptors, 44 points in the fourth quarter in that win over Atlanta. That is crazy. Let's get a little bit of Halloween in. We know it's past, but just quickly, Kim Kardashian, pretty cool. She showed up at a party thinking it was a costume party. She dressed up as Mystique, and they say a picture's worth 1,000 words. Well, this is worth like 10,000 words, or maybe 1,000,000. I mean, she looks pretty good. Anyways, if you could show up in a Halloween costume, and I know you don't believe in those things, but what would it be? What would you show up as?
Black Panther, bro.
All right. That's
simple.
Simple. Wow. I like it.
Yeah.
Let's just move on. I'm not a Halloween guy, so I won't even talk about that. YouTuber Jake Paul recently in a sanctioned boxing event against Anderson Silva. First of all, let's attack the word sanctioned, because what was your thought on the fight? Paul got the win. Did you enjoy the fight? Was it a joke? What's going on here?
You know what? I don't know. I actually don't know how to take this anymore because, you know, this was when he started this, it was a sideshow.
Right.
But there's a kind of athlete that he wants to fight. There's a kind of athletes from the UFC. I mean, you know, Nate Robinson wasn't a boxer. Nate Robinson basically was doing WWE. Like he ran and jumped at him and he got knocked out. Right. Everyone else, it's like the same style of boxing. However, this guy's a massive following on social media. And so ultimately, if you got 20, 30 million people following you and you can fill a stadium of 20 or 50,000 people, then you've got 1,000,000 pay-per-view buys at $90 per head. This is a lot of money this kid is making. So again, is either he's making this a farce and making the UFC and boxing look stupid by creating incredible wealth for himself and the boxers that he's fighting, or he's a genius, or he'll be the next guy. He'll be the next Don King or the next Eddie Hearn. I'm saying to you that he's doing stuff. Like, I mean, when you look at even what Floyd Mayweather is doing, Floyd Mayweather is apparently retired. He's fighting a bunch of exhibition matches against YouTubers, against social media stars.
I don't like it.
Right? So I'm saying to you that this is not, I'm a boxing fan, right? And so this is probably, this is not what I want to go see, or this is not what, I'm going to spend my pay-per-view money on. But I have to say, there's this massive attraction that allows me to go, oh man, hold on. Yep, they're fighting. Let me see what happens here. I did not know that. I thought that Anderson Silva was going to beat him. Let me tell you this.
He's a UFC guy.
But Anderson Silva is also,
if you could kick him, yeah, I agree.
Well, that would be nice. He's a 47-year-old guy. But, I mean, he's still got, like, I watched the fight, and Anderson got him. But Anderson's still boxing him as Anderson's a kickboxer, jiu-jitsu. And several other fighting styles that he has. So I don't know if Anderson's strong suit is actually just the sweet science of boxing, but Jake knocked him down, and Jake ended up winning the fight. But now he's calling out Nate Diaz, and there's someone else. You know, so I'm saying to you that, I mean, and Nate Diaz kind of fights that stiff, you know, boxing thing. So again, he knows what he's doing, man. Like. And he's making a bag of money doing it. And again, it might be a sideshow.
100%.
But he's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah. Want no part of it. Give me Katie Taylor. I'd rather watch her fight.
Katie Taylor.
Than watch those guys.
Yeah. Well, she fought on the weekend too. And And dude, you know, again, not just being a woman, but Katie Taylor is one of the best pound for pound boxers in the world, man. And again, she put on a show.
100%. Let's talk a little golf. The LIV season is done, but my goodness, did they raise a lot of eyebrows over the summertime. Putting the heat on the PGA, would you consider LIV's inaugural season a success or just a one and done, a bit of a sideshow?
100% success.
Okay.
100% success. Yep. I told you this out the gate. I'm, you know, as an athlete myself, I think that it is very important for athletes to look at options when their body is intact and they're healthy and they're young and they can play. You know, obviously the PGA is going to have the people that are loyal to them because they were loyal because they've been loyal to the athletes. But LIV, backed by a major amount of money. Speaking of money, major amount of money provides an option for these other golfers to go out there and make money, and the format works pretty well. And, you know, I'm a fan.
Last thing, Breeders' Cup weekend. So all eyes on Keeneland in Kentucky. 14 races, 2 days of action, $31 million up for grabs. Will you have a few shekels on some of these horses?
I actually thought you said Raiders' Cup.
Oh, my goodness. we're not talking the 80s, Marcus Allen, with that turnaround against the Redskins.
You know what? Yes, why not? Why not? I don't know who I'm going to select yet, but yes, I'm going to take a look.
14 races.
No, but for sure, for sure. I mean, I think it's, again, as a fan of sport, just like you are, I think it's very important to just look at and see if you can do something and, you know, roll the dice. You never know.
We have hit the wire. Appropriately enough, as we just went down the stretch on this edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. As per usual, we appreciate the company. You know what to do. Like, share, follow, subscribe, download. Be a part of this podcast. There are so many podcast providers out there. I'm Jason Portwando. He is Donovan Bailey. Wrap things up, brother.
And as always, I am back at home in the studios. Stay safe, and we'll see you next week.